everyone. Welcome to Pass Your Bedtime. I'm Andrea Belke.
I'm Caitlin Cook.
And I'm Danielle Kay.
And we were just talking about hotels with Stephen McGee.
Yes.
From Summer House. Yes. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Welcome, welcome.
You look great.
Thank you. Oh my God, don't lie.
You have like a summer glow. Were you tanning?
I did go to the tanning bed today. And everyone's like, oh, you look so tan. I'm like, thank you.
You're like, thank you. I was laying out.
Yeah, now I guess we have to talk about hotels since it just introduced us as talking about hotels.
We were talking about the Jane Hotel, which is beautiful here. But I was saying that every time I've gone to that bar, if you have never been there, go if you're in New York, because you just get royally fucked up. Because I don't know what it is, if it's the bartenders or you just meet the people that are there and everyone keeps buying you shit, but it's fun. It's a good time.
It's also that you're at the bar at the Jane Hotel. Exactly. So yes. What else is there to do?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, the hotels in New York are so small.
Yeah.
The rooms.
They are. Really small.
They are very tiny. Just the other day, my friend was telling me, I'll say it, but EJ Johnson was going to check into this hotel she works at, and she was like, trying to get his people to like call him and tell him to change hotels. She's like, we only have the smallest room available, and I've been in this room before. It's a queen size bed with like 2 feet on every side of it.
Oh.
And she's like, I don't think he's going to like this.
Yeah, no.
You know what's a cool hotel is the Dream in Chelsea.
Oh, that is
like,
really cool.
It's like funky. And granted, again, obviously small because everything here is so compact, but it's really cool.
Is that the one that has the rock and roll themed bar downstairs? It's really fun.
I think Electric Room.
Yeah, that
I
that's
love
so
the
fun.
Dream Hotel. I go to all the Dreams. Yeah. Dream, Downtown, Midtown, Miami, South Beach. Mm. I was just
Ooh, I've never
there.
Been to Miami.
Really good.
Yeah, I'd be curious because you, we'll get into Summer House, a lot of things to talk about, but where do you go out in the city? Because you live Upper West Side, right?
Yeah.
I live up there too.
Yeah, so close neighbors.
Neighbors. I have a really bad track record with neighbors.
Just be careful.
Yeah, Andrea creeps on her neighbors.
We're far enough away that it's like nothing will happen.
Just close
But
your
close
hands.
Enough that we can make things happen.
Yes. Yes.
Unfortunately, I'm like, I used to be the person that was like always knew the hottest place, and I like prided myself on that. And now I go to like three places.
Oh, yeah.
I go to Rose Bar at the Gramercy Park Hotel,
I love that bar.
Which I love. And I've been there going there through all of its waves of popularity and unpopularity. Like, I've seen the good and the bad.
And, you're loyal.
And they reward me for that. And that's why I go there. And then I go to the Box all the time.
I've never been there. I love the box. I don't know how I've never gone.
You know,
I'm not
going to
lie.
So
you guys,
long.
We should go.
I'm going to the Box tonight. So after this.
I don't know if I can do tonight. But we
this
should.
This is called Past Your Bedtime. Right?
I know. That is like,
and we were, so just, really, we were just talking
we're
about like.
Talk about going to bed.
I know. And we're trying to be more spontaneous, or at least we're like.
I have to get on a flight tomorrow to this wedding.
Oh my gosh, that's the best time to go to the Box.
Actually, so our connection, Stephen, is Frankie Grande.
Yes.
But what's funny is the one time I did, actually, I mentioned the Box twice, but the first time I went to the Box, Frankie was performing.
Frankie's a host there.
Yeah. So he was performing and I got tired. And so I actually had to leave at, I mean, you know, that goes so late. So I think it goes so late.
They don't even open until midnight.
Yeah. So I think it was wow. 2 or 3 and I was falling asleep. So I ended up leaving and I told John Eric, another friend, that I had to go. And apparently Frankie gave me a shout out.
Oh no.
And I was gone.
That's amazing.
That's so
Wait, I think I've actually heard this story.
He did a shout out to the balcony where I was saying, Andrew Belke from Survivor. Because that was right when we met.
And then literally,
was there a spotlight and then just
no
nothing
one was there.
200 people ran up there for autographs and photos. And
no.
And she was just too cool.
I felt so bad. I'm so lame. I can't stay.
I mean, it is late.
It's late.
The
it's
last show there is at 3:30 a.m. And they, you know, by law, they close at 4.
But they don't close at 4.
Every
don't.
Time I'm there, 5:30 or 6 a.m.
Of course.
And I'm like,
yeah. Is it one of those bars that locks you in? Like, I've been to those, and those are the best.
They don't lock you in.
They don't lock you in, but they won't let anyone in.
What kind of bar is this,
Caitlin? Yeah, they don't
allow other people. Well, when I used to, when I cocktailed at this awful, well, no, I shouldn't say awful. I loved the bar, but I hate Murray Hill. And it was like this bro-y, you know, it was called Joshua Tree. Anyway,
oh God!
Yeah, I cocktailed there, and I made great money. Anyway, but we would go out afterwards, and the owner and you know, or the manager, whatever, they had friends that worked at this bar across the street. I forget the name because I never knew. So we would just go there at 4 o'clock, and then they would literally lock the door, and you'd come out, and it was like 8 a.m. and people were going to work, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? And then I quit cocktailing. Wait, what was the third bar? That you like to go to?
I feel like it's changing now, but I also do like to go to the rooftop at the Public. which is next to the box. Oh, so I stop there. And or it's either there or at all, which is also next to the box. So I go there first because you can't go to the box early.
Could we go sometime with you to the box?
Yes. Please. I've never been and I've always wanted to go. For people listening that don't know what the box is, explain what the shows are. Okay.
The box is basically like, it's like if you were watching Cabaret or something, like, you know, it's like
Moulin Rouge.
It is a variety. It's a club lounge kind of vibe. Like, there's couches. Everyone's not like up dancing. But then three times during the night, these crazy variety shows come on stage. And there's an amazing host who, they've always had amazing people. Like, the last host, she just left because she got signed with like Major Lazer.
Wow.
Like, they've always had amazing people. And then, you know, she sings a song, and then maybe someone comes out on stage and does some cool talent. Like, if you watch America's Got Talent, like those world's fastest roller skating, that's like a brother and sister, they perform there.
That's
like
their cool. skateboard.
And then maybe you see someone like shit in a purse.
I literally was just like, I've heard about pooping stories. Yeah. I've heard pooping stories, and that's kind of all I've heard.
Or like, I mean, fist themselves.
What's the like, craziest thing you've seen at the box?
The craziest thing I've ever seen probably is, it was around Halloween, and they did this number, and they have the staple of the box. Her name is Rosewood, and Rosewood is transgender, and she still has a penis.
Mm.
And she basically, you know, it's not all real, but she basically cut off someone else's penis and used the blood to fist herself.
Oh,
wait. Holy shit.
She also does one. She also does one where she really, sometimes the poop is fake, but sometimes the poop is real.
But
Oh my God.
Wait, she cut off some. Hold on a second.
It was fake. The cutting off someone's penis was fake.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the fisting would be like was real.
But there was one. Shout out to Rosewood.
Yeah. She like, and she goes all out for her craft. And honestly, I have to say, I've had many conversations if I'm a little too drunk and I see her and then I engage with her. And she really, all these things she does have intense meaning behind them, like political meaning. They're all like, they're really a message, but you're not sending that message to people at 2:30 in the morning on Saturday night.
That's very true.
Like, they are not getting that message. And the most, I mean, she goes all out though. She like, it's serious.
I really want to
go.
Yeah. I'm into that kind of
stuff. My favorite one she does is she dresses as Anna Wintour, and she looks exactly like her, comes out to Madonna's Vogue.
Amazing.
And then shits in a toilet and wipes herself with the pages of Vogue.
Is it real shit?
That's beautiful.
Is it real shit, though?
No. Okay. It's actually a brownie mix with some granola in it.
Is it? Do you know?
It really is.
I love
that
they're like, we gotta add some texture.
She puts it up her butt. It's coming out of her butt.
Oh my gosh.
It's coming out of her butt. Interesting. But it's just brownie mix.
It's so funny because I don't know how your parents are. Like, if my mom knew
My parents would drop dead. They would, well, actually, first they would kill me and then drop dead.
Wait, is it because you're from Alabama?
Yeah.
So you're very Southern.
Yeah, very Southern.
So what's your family like? Are they very, like, proper Southern?
Yeah, Southern, conservative, religious.
Interesting.
I think we're similar. I mean, my family's very conservative.
Yeah.
Religious, the whole thing, Wisconsin.
My parents, my mom cried the first time that I posted a photo with a glass of champagne on Facebook.
Are you being serious?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how old were you?
Yeah,
I was 21.
Oh, no. Oh, that's sweet, though.
I mean, my mom's a prude, too. What is it with parents? They're
my
so
parents
conservative.
Are not.
Yeah, you're, I'm like, I'm going to be a cool
parent. You know
parent.
My parents. Yeah, of course. But the thing is like, we all know what we get away with. So if I have kids, I'm going to be like, absolutely not. I know everything I did. Mom, you're listening. You know everything I've done, too. But like, I haven't done anything too crazy. I mean, like sneaking out of the house, like that fun stuff, you know?
I snuck out a lot.
No,
the first time
brownie mix fisting.
No fisting at all.
The first time I got drunk, I made out with a girl. Kind of set the tone for the rest of the time. No, I'm straight, though. I just like to make out with a girl sometimes. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, so your parents are very conservative. Now, I know that when you came out to them, that was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
So we don't really know the story. And I don't think, I mean, if our listeners don't know you, then they may not know it. So kind of take me down that road.
So I first... Okay, I'm going to briefly summarize a lot of my life.
Please.
I kind of moved out when I was 16 and did my own thing, went to college. I'm from Alabama. I went to school in Tennessee and put myself into school. And then didn't really talk to my family much. I mean, it wasn't like a very hostile like thing. We just were different people and we never really kind of knew why. And my sis, I have an older sister who was getting married, so they were very preoccupied, you know. So it was easy for me to kind of just go do my own thing. And then I decided, actually, I was in a private Christian school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it was my sophomore year. A kid got kicked out for coming out.
Wow.
And that was okay because it was private school. So you...
That's horrible.
Basically, you agree by going to the school to their rules, and so they could kick him out of school his senior year. And after that, I was like, this is not the place for me. I dropped out my next semester and moved to New York. So I was in New York for a while and just living life. And then I came out when I was 22 to my parents because actually I was doing another TV show. And you never really know what's going to, as you know, Andrea, you never know what's going to be on TV.
Yeah.
Or what other people are going to say about you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I came
were out and proud in your New York life at that time?
In life.
But not to your parents.
And I felt like I just wanted to tell them. So I told them. And
how did you tell them? Like
over
on the phone?
I told them 2 days before the show came on TV.
Which show is it?
I was on a show briefly called Playing with Fire. It was a work show. So I worked for this crazy restaurant group. And
it sounds fun.
They were on there. It was all about the food scene in New York. It was super fun. But my bosses, it was mostly about my boss. I was just kind of in the office. That was my first taste of reality TV. And but you never know when they're going to just be like, oh, our gay like event planner.
Or like, to make you, you never know.
They're going to be like, so I told them right before. And then from that moment, we didn't talk about it again for 5 years.
What?
And just never mentioned it again. And then this
when
past
you told
season,
them, were they silent on the phone?
They were, well, they talked a little bit. And this is how my parents are. They're religious. So they don't really think, you know, they think. This is where it all boils down to. They think being gay is a choice. And that, I think, is where a lot of religious people maybe they use that to grapple with it. I had to explain to them, like, oh, I'm not telling you that I think I might be gay.
I know, for sure.
I am gay and I'm living this way. Like, I'm not... Like, they would prefer me to just... They don't think that it's wrong if you may think that, but just never act on it.
Yeah. But it's... I think it's like you were trying to get across, like, this is who I am, not who I'm choosing to be.
Right? Yeah. So I think that at that time, they just kind of were hoping that and...
It was a phase or something.
Yeah. That I would change. I'd get over it or something. Mm. Or I would come back to the church or whatever. So... And my parents went to a very conservative church, so that was not at all accepted or even looked at as, like, anything within the church. It was very much like, you're going to hell. So, we never talked about it again. And then kind of in the past, after the first season of the show, it really does kind of really make you look at your life in a very weird way. You're, like, woken up to, like, why do I act that way? Things that you never really thought about. And I've kind of gone through a lot of relationships, and I just gotten out of this long-term relationship that was off and on, and I was never really like happy in it, but I knew it would never really go anywhere. So I think I stayed in that relationship because I knew it would never progress to where I would have to tell them or take another step. And so this past season on the show, actually, I was very lucky, and I'm very grateful to Bravo to let me tell the story that I wanted to tell. We went home and I kind of explained to my parents, like, if you want to be in my life and be a part of who I am growing up as an adult, you're gonna have to at least accept that I am gay. You don't have to like it, but I can't like hide this part of my life, because I do. I respect my parents. I don't want them to feel uncomfortable or anything like that, you know, but that's a big part of your life.
And
to hide.
That is who you are.
Well, and you also want a relationship with them, you know? Yeah. And to have a relationship with them, you have to be able to be yourself, right?
It definitely is very difficult because I found myself where, you know, even talking to one of my favorite producers on our show, Sam, she is like my sister. She knows me better than probably anyone else. And she kind of was like, what do you even talk about with your parents? And I was like, well, work. Like, that's it.
That's such...
And that's kind of sad when we're all living in New York and we have amazing things that happen to us every day here and, like, hilarious things and funny things, and they don't know anything about my friends or anything like that because I'm worried that, you know...
Do something that you say is going to bother them. Do they follow you on Summer House or on social media or anything? Do they?
So they do kind of, but I've always been kind of... I'm not one to, like, throw it out there anyway. That's just not me. But... they obviously, they watched the first season of the show and they knew that this was kind of like tolling on me. But when it came time, you know, I'm at least grateful to my parents because they agreed to film and they had to have known this could probably come up.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for TV because I think a lot of times you see people who... are maybe thrown out by their parents and it's terrible and they have this horrible story, or they have this amazing story where their parents are super embracing. But you don't see a lot of the times about people who go through this and, like, your parents love you, but they really don't want anything to do with this part of your life. And what now? Where do you go?
Right. Like, it's almost like it portrays... Oh, I'm sorry. It portrays like a polarized... picture, you know, you're either this or that, but they don't show
there is that gray area though.
Well, there are those imperfect relationships that go back and forth and are inconsistent and waver, you know.
Well, and how did they respond when you went to go film and you were like, if you want a relationship with me, you have to accept me?
It was actually very sad because I think I did have, like, hope in I've watched my parents grow in our relationship, even over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, where now I went home for Christmas and my mom took me to buy wine because I wanted it. And, like, my parents have never had alcohol in their house. And she took me, I was like, I need wine. And she took me to buy wine.
Amazing.
And, like, I've seen them grow. And so I had this, like, piece of hope that, like, maybe there would be something, but it really did not go well. They kind of want, I think, the relationship to stay the same, which is sad. And that is actually what's happened. Like, we did have, like, we fell off for a little bit and didn't really talk that much. And then, you know, now we're talking again, but it's kind of just, like, back to normal. But I feel like now that I did that for me, and, like, I've put my expectation out there and what I need. So now I feel like I can make the decisions that I need to make to be happy. And I gave them fair warning, you know?
Well, I have so many thoughts. First of all, I'm sorry that that's the situation because I can't imagine. And it's a conversation I have a lot with a lot of my friends that are gay, that it's so unfortunate that people have to come out. Like, you don't have to come out if you're straight. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm hoping one day that that's not even a thing, that you're just, you are who you are, you love who you love, and everyone accepts it. And, you know, it's unfortunate because it's like, not only is this your life and you want to share New York and everything with them, but you're living your life on TV. And like you say, you don't know what's going to come out. So that also has to add some pressure and stress.
I mean, I pride myself on not being censored in my life. And, like, especially to my friends. I think all my friends know me as, he's going to tell me what he thinks.
That's awesome.
And I find myself that this is the one part where...
But do you feel like, especially after having this conversation, that maybe if you do... Are you single? You're single?
I'm single.
Ooh, anyone listening?
Well,
I know. We're all single, so we can all go out and find people for
a single Sally party here.
But if you...
We're not bitter.
Not at all. We're super happy. But if you were to meet someone and you built a relationship, like, would you even feel comfortable calling your parents and being like, hey, I have a boyfriend? Or is that just something that you would literally never talk about until you're like, hey, I'm getting married?
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot. And, like, that's also how I kind of justified, even when, because moving out so young, there was so much of my life that they didn't really were a part of. And so when I didn't even come out till I was 22, and people are like, oh, you're not, I was like, well, I've just never said it to them, but like, they probably know. But, like, if I was dating a girl, I wouldn't be like, oh, guess who I'm dating? Like, that's not our relationship. So I honestly don't know what it would happen if I was really in love with somebody, and, like, whatever. I can't really even imagine a place. It's so crazy. I can't even imagine a place in my life where my parents and my boyfriend would ever even meet.
I know. And obviously, wow. I'm not in your shoes. It's just there is hopefully that hope that things will change. I know my parents, I obviously didn't have to come out to them and this whole thing or whatever. But my friends from college, all gay. One of my best friends was a lesbian. So I just started.
Well, and we have another friend in common, Eric.
Yeah. So I like started, you know, bringing my gay friends around. And then when I was on Survivor, Zeke, who's a good friend of mine, is transgender. That's like, you know, another curveball for them. Yeah. And I'm good friends with Zeke. And by the end of the Survivor finale, my dad loved Zeke, loved Ty, who was on my Survivor season, who's very gay. And I just kind of saw with them, very conservative, religious people, you know, partying with my gay friends. And I thought, you know what? This is movement forward.
Sure.
They're accepting these people. I think that my family loves my gay friends. So I would hope for your family being conservative, religious people that with time, because they do love you, that they'll have some progress as well. I think
that's such a benefit of what TV has started to shift to, like telling those stories. I watched Survivor, so I know both those stories. And with my parents, you know, I was so grateful because I got tons of, you know, outpouring of love and from people and people telling me their stories on social media after my episodes aired. And I think that maybe when, I think at the time, maybe my parents are feeling like angry about it or like they're put on the spot or whatever, even though they didn't know what they were doing. I didn't like pop up with cameras. and I think maybe after that wears off and they're able to look at it more objectively, that they'll see how it affects. I think they think, and a lot of people think, like, it's not something that just because I'm not sitting here saying, I'm in love with a man, don't you agree? Like, it affects my daily life. It doesn't affect just, like, if I was in a relationship. It affects everything I do.
Yeah. Well, people, you know, people have a really hard time letting go of ideologies, you know, especially when you are entrenched in like Bible culture and, you know, and Christian culture in general. If you're really, you know, adamantly to the word, it's, I think there's like a disconnect between, you know, the modern world that we're living in and these ideologies that people really do want to cling to because it makes them feel safe. It makes them feel comfortable. And I think, you know, you are now, you've embraced the culture that you've always identified with, and now you're living it fully. But it's like there's a culture clash, you know, I'd imagine. But like you said, I think that that intermingling and the exposure that essentially these shows also have provided is a baby step, you know, at the very least.
I think,
you know,
it can prick, you know, the coldest heart.
I'm sure you've had a lot of people reach out to you and relate to you and probably look at you as a role model too.
Yeah.
Oh, please don't look at me as a role model.
But, for everyone listening, he is your new role model.
No, because I'm going to the box.
Just go to the box.
But yeah, it is nice. You know, it's nice to feel like, even if anything, that there's so many other people out there that are going through the same thing. Yeah. And it's not even just about being gay. I think in our generation, and like you said, that we're at a really big crossroads now of people like leaving their ideologies behind. And I think if you're a kid that's any different from your parents, it's all the same feeling.
Well, that's the thing we were talking before of people being very conservative, religious. I actually, religious doesn't have to be this like to the Bible type situation that people have always done in the past, because I have gay friends that go to church several times a week, way more than I go to church.
Yeah.
They are involved in church choir. They do, they're good, amazing, amazing people. And are you telling me that God is looking at them and saying, oh, sorry, even though you've given up your entire life to serve me, you're gay, so you're not going to be able to enter the pearly gates.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I just kind of look at that, and I think a lot of it's a little outdated and frustrating for me.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, one might argue with all of us right now about what we're saying, but I think there is an archaic element to feeling like you can't be different from what this book that was written, like, what, 2,000 years ago? Like, for real? Like, literally 2,000 years ago. But you can still be a person of faith. You can still enjoy the book and the teachings and the writings. But to take that and transfer it into the real world now is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And not everyone is very good at that.
Yeah.
Well, I have two little comments. The first thing I want to say is, Stephen, you should be proud of yourself, because 16-year-old Stephen in Alabama probably had no idea that you would be in New York City, out and loud and proud, and that's amazing. Like,
really is amazing.
And for anyone listening, and for anyone listening, like, we talk a lot about the Midwest because we're Midwest girls. But, like, you know, we were saying, you know, before this, we, you know, like, when I was like 15 and 16 in Ohio, like, I would look at magazines of these women, and I'm surrounded by that because I live in New York and we're in entertainment. But I thought that was literally the standard of beauty. That was the only beauty. Blah blah blah. But now it's like 28-year-old Caitlin in New York. It's like, oh, wait, no, there's so many other things. But I do want to go back to the Zeke thing really quick, Andrea, because I remember watching the show. Can you tell everybody listening what happened with Zeke, and if they don't know?
Yeah, so on my third season of Survivor Game Changers, I was playing with this guy, Zeke Smith. Now, he's transgender, but no one knew about that. So he was, even though he was out to some of his friends in New York, he wasn't out to a lot of his friends, and he was definitely not out to the public, so no one knew. Obviously his family knew, but he didn't want this to be a thing that was out there. And
this was his second season.
This was his second season. Yes, it was my third season. And we were on the same tribe. It's funny because we actually knew each other before we played, because we played this Survivor fan game called Survivor Brooklyn. So we were in an alliance. We actually knew each other before we played, which is pretty unprecedented. But anyway, we were at this tribal council.
Secrets. I know, right?
I'm like, should I be playing that?
Oh, yeah. There's another one this weekend.
Wait, that's so fun.
You should play. Oh, I think
we'll play and then we'll go to the
club. We'll talk about that later.
We can't go this weekend. It's actually really fun and stressful. It's just a day long. Wow, I'm super nerdy. Love Survivor. Anyway, we were at a tribal council, and there was this guy, Jeff Varner, who was going to be voted out, and he knew it. So he was scrambling to do anything he could to stay in the game. And when you're out there, you are not eating, you're not sleeping, you are out of your mind.
Totally. So you're dehydrated, you feel like you're going to die.
You're paranoid. And this guy knew he was going to be voted off. It was pretty clear. So he was just scrambling for anything. And basically, in the middle of tribal council, he was trying to throw Zeke under the bus and say that we couldn't trust Zeke. And he was trying to throw everyone under the bus, saying there were secret alliances and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he turned to Zeke and he said, there's some deception on levels that you guys don't even know. I'm obviously paraphrasing, whatever.
Sure.
And he says, Zeke, why haven't you told anyone that you're transgender?
Wow.
Wait, so you guys didn't know? How did Jeff know?
So Varner outed Zeke.
And Jeff was gay. That's important to mention. Like,
wait, what?
Isn't he gay?
Jeff Probst?
No,
Varner.
Jeff Varner. Yeah. Sorry.
No, not Jeff Probst.
I'm like, no.
Surprise.
Not Probst.
I just outed him.
Yeah, right.
Jeff Probst is gay. No, Jeff Varner is gay. Yeah. Yes, that's another important thing.
Yeah.
Sure. And is. Really, he supports the transgender community and has done work for transgender people.
Well, and I know that after this happened, he came out and he was so apologetic, obviously. And so,
but like you said, he was starving and out of his mind and probably really desperate.
But how did...
But still...
So
he outed someone on national television.
Yeah.
But Zeke didn't... You didn't know? Like, did everyone on the show know, or did Jeff just know?
I didn't know, but someone had made a comment to me that something was off about Zeke and he had his scars, but I didn't know if they were for weight loss or anything. That was on the season. But for me, I just brushed that aside because I'm like, you know what? If he wants to talk to me about something that's personal, he'll do that. I'm not going to go digging around, because for me, anything personal that's left off of the show stays off the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I didn't think anything of it. I did not think in a million years that Jeff Varner would out Zeke. And it was it was a horrible moment. But it ended up, I think, turning into a great thing, because Zeke has taken this and made it a beautiful thing.
Well, he was so... I remember watching it. I watched it live, and I remember being like jaw dropped. But he handled it, I think, probably the most eloquently I've ever seen someone handle something of that magnitude on TV.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, because Andrea was hosting the after shows, and Daniel and I would go to a lot of them. And I remember, I think I had missed that week for whatever reason. I'm such a fangirl of you. I missed that week. Oh my God, what was I doing? What else could I have been doing?
It was very important.
But really, I missed that week, and I didn't watch the show on my own because I watched it with you. So I hadn't watched this episode, and I didn't know because I didn't see it online or anything. And then I came the next week, and Zeke came to watch as just like a friend.
Yeah.
I had no idea that this had happened, and I already had met Zeke, and he was so sweet. So, you know, hug, hello, whatever. And then, like, I think halfway through the evening afterwards, someone was like, oh my God, this, I can't believe, you know, and I had no idea at all. But I wish I would have known, just to be like, thank you for how you handled that, because yeah. It was beautiful.
I mean, it didn't change anything for me of how I felt about Zeke or anything. And the one great thing I thought, I mean, there's a lot of great things that I think ended up coming out from it, because Zeke's amazing and owned it and is doing wonderful things with GLAAD and everything. But my conservative family back home, who thought Zeke was just a gay guy, then all of a sudden he comes out as transgender, which is unheard of. They had already kind of loved Zeke as the player and person. So then when this happened, I think they were like, well, wait, I still like Zeke. I guess this doesn't change anything.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So I think ultimately it turned out to be a good thing. Again, Zeke's incredible, but that was such a insane, crazy moment. I still can't believe it happened, honestly.
Yeah. I know.
But that's why visibility is so important. You know, like in media, entertainment, representation, visibility, it's important because that lets people realize like, oh, they're human beings. Like,
right.
I relate to them. And, not, you know, like it's just because so many people throughout even the United States just live in these like sheltered places where they don't come across a lot of different cultures, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and especially in the trans community and in ways like that, because your few trans people that you do see, like Laverne Cox or somebody, they're very glamorized.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
You don't see the norm very
often.
And
you don't see the transition period often, you know?
Yeah.
But also, and also when it comes to like transitional surgery, you know, that's a huge privilege. It's a lot of people cannot afford that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cause you are a big Survivor fan, Steven, right?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, that's how we saw each other at Frankie's Cruel Intentions. And Caitlin was there too.
Yeah,
it was so good.
And
yeah,
it was great. We recognized you, and then when you recognized me, I was really happy.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love Andrea, and I've known about you for so long because you went to college with my very first New York roommate, like Eric, who I didn't know a single thing about New York. I just had packed up and moved here from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Eric, I like sublet in Eric's apartment and we became friends.
He's amazing. My favorite memory of him is we were in college. He would always just go, college! And that was like our chant. It doesn't really make sense. I want to talk to you. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. No, not important, but I was just curious. When you first moved here, what neighborhood were you in?
Astoria.
I'm in Astoria.
They both live there.
Yay!
I was on... 23rd and 30th Ave.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah. We definitely want to talk to you about dating.
Yeah.
Now that we know you're single. Yeah. What are your thoughts on dating? Do you do the apps? I mean, you obviously, you're a public figure. I'm just curious how that all goes down.
Currently, I'm not on any apps. You know, I was just telling this funny story. Yeah. I tried to get on Raya.
I just got on.
See, I got waitlisted because I applied like so long ago, and now you can't get off the waitlist. Every time I redownload,
this is because that's what happened to me. But you have to have someone refer you.
Oh. You could refer him.
Yeah. Well, I think because they might send an email where they say, "Do you want to refer somebody?" That's what they did this last round, and so my friend Tim referred me. I was like, "Thank you."
Let me tell
this
you how
the thing,
desperate
though.
I was.
It's not that great though.
Wait, for people listening that don't know what Raya is, because it's a privileged dating app.
Hey, we don't want to talk about it too much because we will get kicked. I'll get kicked off.
I'll say what it is then. It's like Fight Club. It's basically right. If you're a public figure, you have to be invited in,
or just artsy, or
know
something.
Someone, or an Instagram model.
Or an influencer.
Yeah, you have to be. It's just, you know,
it's
whatever.
Like the cool kids table of dating
apps. I went
apps.
So far as I went on LinkedIn. I can barely say this. Like, I went on LinkedIn and found somebody that worked for Raya, and I emailed them.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I emailed them asking them to get me on the app.
That's amazing.
Did they email
didn't
back?
Respond. But like, I was so desperate to get on Raya because I have been through everything. I have been through like, I was on Hinge for a minute and I met one guy and we did date for a little bit and then fuck him. But like, other than that, I'm not on any apps now because nothing's working.
Do you go on a lot of like terrible first dates, or do most of your first dates lead to like the third date as well, and then it doesn't match up?
What I'm finding is that right now I'm talking to a lot of people that cannot commit to a date. Yeah. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, how busy are you? I'm busier.
Yeah. Like,
I have more going on.
And also, like, you have time for an hour drink or coffee or something. Like, everyone can make time.
And I used to make a rule. If someone's like, meet for a drink, I'm like, eh, no.
Yeah, yes.
Like, if you can't commit to dinner, I've gone to dinner with some terrible people. I've gone to dinner with my parents. Like, I can get through a dinner with somebody that I don't want to talk to.
But that's brave.
But is it someone that you just met or on an app?
Not like a total random.
Okay, so you already kind of know that you get
along. I have
along.
A couple people, yeah. Yeah, I know I get along. Like, there's this one guy on Instagram right now. We're messaging back and forth. He just moved back. We've been messaging for like 2 years, but he was here and then he moved to San Francisco and then he just moved back. He works for Google.
That's exciting.
Because for me, though, I don't usually
somewhere
like,
out there.
I don't usually like a dinner first date.
Me neither.
I like
because you're stuck.
It may
coffee.
Be different for a girl guy.
No, I'm with you, Steven, because I personally feel like a dinner is quality time.
Yeah.
Like a dinner is like.
But what if they
classy.
Suck and then your pasta hasn't gotten there yet?
And
but you're starving.
On a date.
And
you've been stuck on dates and
I have
it's so
a great
terrible.
Motto.
What?
There's no such thing as a bad date, only a good brunch story.
Oh, that's
I like
a
that.
Really
unless
nice
the brunch
quote.
Story is it was boring and no one spoke.
I mean,
yeah, but you could just make at that point do something fun, like make it terrible. Like,
yeah, but
really
I went on
that's
four. Actually,
wait, I like that though.
That's actually
wait. Then
really
you play along into
good,
it.
That's a good wine. Not
then just
dare.
Start.
That's
yeah, really, just start being like. The person that they hate the most.
Oh my
god, that's
gosh.
True. It's
that's
like how to lose
really,
a guy in 2 days.
You'll have fun.
I think dinner dates nowadays is, it's there's something authentic about it. And some people are like, oh, like it's too committal, and it's like, no, just like get used to talking to people, you know, like. But like you said, Andrea, like sometimes these guys can be duds.
Duds.
Oh yeah. Well, I was getting waxed yesterday and I have a really great relationship with Soledad, who waxes me, and we were talking about this like 60 something year old woman who came in for a Brazilian wax, and Soledad was like, she came in and she was just really like bummed out and in a bad mood, and I've seen her a lot, so I was like, what's going on? And the woman was getting this Brazilian wax because she was going out on a date with this man who like wouldn't commit to like being her boyfriend or something. The man is in his 70s, so honestly,
oh,
I don't think it gets better.
There's
like,
no hope.
There's no hope. That's what I said to her. I was like, there's absolutely no hope. If that woman, you know, and this poor woman is getting a Brazilian wax at 60 years old for this man who won't commit to her.
Well, I would hope I'm still getting Brazilians at 60.
Oh, I'm not. You guys know me. I refuse to wax.
I know. We
well,
talked about
I have
that.
A good laser hair person. I
oh.
can talk you guys
oh,
that.
Okay.
Interesting.
What if you had to say what you wanted right now? Like, are you happy being single? Are you someone that wants a boyfriend?
I'm happy being single, but I do want a boyfriend.
Mm, yeah.
I've been single for a little bit, like, aside from this short little Hinge thing. And, you know, I feel like I need it. But I'm also someone who, I don't date for fun.
Mm, yeah.
There is nothing fun about it.
Thank you.
Like,
yeah, it's not
fun. There's nothing fun about dating.
Yes.
Like, the people I know that are like, well, I'm doing this on Tuesday, and then I'm going here on Thursday.
It's a nightmare.
And then this on Saturday with three different people. And I'm like, what? Who
no.
does that?
No.
No.
Do you do that, Andrea? Because you're looking over there like, yeah, I'm like, is that what
I mean,
you
we've
do?
All had that
I'm
phase.
Trying to
you're
say,
like,
I mean,
oh, how am I
going
to phrase this?
I actually really enjoy, I enjoy dating. I really do.
Yeah,
I have fun
I
dating. I love meeting people, and I love first dates with fun people. But I think for me, I can't do casual. I've tried it. I dipped my toes in. I can't do it. I get emotionally attached, and
I
then
like
I get hurt.
I like the third date. I'm
yes.
like, I already know if this is going to make
oh,
it
yeah.
for
I know
nine
by the
months.
First
yeah.
date, and
yeah.
then I get really into them. And when I find someone I want to date, it's laser focused. Okay, cool. You're the person I want to date right now.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, let's continue this. But not everyone
right.
is doing the same thing.
And I get crazy. Like, I have screenshots.
Oh my God, you guys.
The Google guys.
Steven fits in with us so well.
Recently in my photos, because I talked about him so much, and all my friends are like, let me see. I just have the screenshots.
Oh, I've done that too. Of course. You have to.
You should just be another host.
I know you really should. I'm a little crazy. Last episode that I was on, I admitted to spying through my window at a guy that I was seeing because I could see into his apartment.
Oh.
I mean,
that's creepy. Does he know that?
No, of course not.
Of course not.
I do the thing where you get a crush on someone.
Unless he listens.
And then you just Google the shit out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone else do that here? Like, you just Google the shit out of them.
So and then you have to pretend like you don't
know. Yeah, exactly. Yes. You're not like, your Aunt May just did this, and they're like, I'm sorry. Like,
I know that you majored in this and your birthday, but, you know, your moon sign, no big deal. It's fine.
Yeah. So I actually try not to Google people because, for me, I don't like when people Google me. Mm. You probably feel that way, Steven, with...
Luckily, there are quite a few Stephen McGee's.
Oh.
There's an NFL player, Stephen McGee, and there's a, like, I don't know, some guy that has my Twitter account handle name.
Oh, great.
So other things come up.
Yeah.
If you Google Stephen McGee, like, trash or Stephen McGee drunk, then I'm the first one. But if you just Google my name,
I'd be proud of Stephen McGee the box.
Yeah.
Like, Stephen McGee, chocolate brownie fisting.
Low in the list if you just Google my name.
Yeah. I guess I don't really like when people do a deep dive. And then I've had guys admit it to me on a first date. They'll say, oh, I got to tell you, I actually Googled you. I'm like, no, I'd rather just learn about somebody.
No, if you give me your phone number, I will find your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat, your Twitter. I will find everything. And I'll find out, and then I'll use the Google image searches from those
from
to get
catfish
even more.
Yeah, to look even further.
Everything.
Absolutely.
But like, oh my gosh. So this is a trick for everybody listening for free. If you put in someone's phone number into your contacts, just put it in as A. You can find their Instagram and their Facebook. And the best way, if you're looking for somebody's real name, go on Snapchat because it's really easy to find what their real name is, because usually it's on there unless it's a dirty Snapchat that they're just using, and that also tells you something about the person. If their Snapchat name is like Big Dick 300,
then maybe you do want to hang out with them.
No. You just put A? I'm confused.
Well, like, just put it, you just have to put your number in your contacts. You can put their name if you want,
and then it'll
pop
up. I just
put it
maybe.
As A so that I can delete it after I realize they're not worth
got it.
Yeah,
but you can. It'll pop up on all these apps. You just go search for your contacts.
That's crazy,
and you can find everything.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah, wow.
I will say there's there's. I know this is like CIA shit.
I really try not to be creepy and look. I mean, besides physically. Doing creepy things. Like, I try not to be creepy on the internet. Like, I try to leave some
it's
sort
so
of mystery.
Hard not to. I know. But really, like, Steven doesn't know this situation that I'm currently in, so I'll just, like, briefly tell you. But I met a guy at a playoff hockey game a month ago in Columbus, where I'm from, like, with my family. He's lovely. He's wonderful. He doesn't use social media because when he goes to apply for residency, he literally can't, which I kind of love because I can't stalk him.
There's
an account out there somewhere.
He does have an Instagram, but he has one picture of, like, a plane. Like, he gave me his name. He gave me, like, his sister's Instagram. He's like, go creepy. He's like, you should see, like, all of my friends, my family, whatever. But anyway, my point is it's kind of awesome that he's not on social media, because it is a thing that you can literally deep dive in, like, 5 years in their past of looking at their ex and getting jealous. And then all of a sudden you're at the dinner date with them and you're thinking, like, well, why did Sarah say this about you? You know what I mean?
She liked, like, your post.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And that stuff will drive you insane. So I'd rather, like Andrea said, I'd rather just leave mystery and kind of, like, learn in person.
But it's also weird when they don't have an Instagram account or don't really use it, because we're so active.
Yeah,
it's weird, but it's not.
It's
nice. It's nice for me because we have to have it for work, you know.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy it, but we've talked a lot about social media and how it can really affect your mood and how it can really just put you down a spiral. So it is kind of refreshing to be around someone that doesn't really get it and they don't really use it, and they're just kind of living in the moment and not taking pictures of their food all the time and not taking, you know. And I kind of like that. I respect that.
I'm a little jealous.
Sides. Like, I would be into that, but I'd have to really trust them, because if I didn't trust them, then I would think something sneaky is up.
Almost something's
weird about this. You're trying to live your life on the down low and something's weird.
Yeah,
if you really trust them, then you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah,
it's like too quiet on the home front, you know. Right. Like, you're like,
like right before the storm hits.
There's, I feel like, again, it's like, it's all about these, like, extremes. You have the guys who are too into their Instagram. No, thank you. No, thank you. Like, you know, if you're like, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But just somewhere right in the middle is good. You know? Someone who uses it, maybe doesn't use it that much, but I don't know.
But also, I think if there's a reason, and mind you, like, I really like this person, so we'll see what happens. But there's a very valid reason. It's not like he works in an office or something and he's like, well, I don't want my boss to see things. It's like, no. When you apply for residency, it's a very big thing.
Yeah.
You know, they can't see pictures of you drunk and whatever.
Real jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
He also probably has very little time.
What's your job?
Instagram. Oh, he has no time.
Yeah.
Well, he literally just finished school. And I love that. What's your job? Instagram. he just finished school for the summer, and for 16 to 18 hours a day he was studying. He was still texting me all the time. He called me from a party the other night just to be like, I'm thinking about you. It was really sweet. But I'm just saying, like, it's a very different life. So I'm not used to that. And it's refreshing. I think it's cool.
I'm excited to hear what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens, too.
You'll be a married woman.
Stop it. No, because I can't get married without you guys. And I also don't know if I ever want to get married. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
Summer House. What's the status on that?
So our second season aired.
Mm-hmm.
We're all still kind of waiting. There's no official Bravos, you know, they don't like to make anything official until they're ready. So we're waiting, but you'll definitely find me out in the Hamptons.
Mm-hmm. How did you get involved in the show?
I got involved. So the show is about a group of friends, and we really are actually a group of friends.
Were you friends before?
Yeah. So everyone was friends with someone. So I got involved through this girl, Lindsay. There was a... They held a casting for groups of friends, and then from that they found these four people who are on the show, Kyle, Lauren, Ashley, who are twins, and Christina, and they liked them, so then they started meeting their friends and kind of branched off. So then this other girl, Lindsay, got involved, and I knew Lindsay. Hmm. So I had met some of the people before I was ever involved in casting, like 5 or 6 times. But I didn't know them that well. So I was still new to the group, but I did know them. And so you feel comfortable because they are your friends.
Yeah.
Like if we had just been in the city and they asked me to get into a car with them, I would have gotten in the car.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel safe enough.
Yeah.
It's a true test.
Yeah. Is there ever a time that, because we've talked with everyone that's been on the show that, you know, like Tom from Vanderpump Rules and Shep from Southern Charm and Andrea, you know, and Julia from Survivor as well. Like we've talked to all these people about like, are there moments that when you're filming where you're like, oh my God, I hope they don't use that. Or if it's like a drunken thing, like the next morning, do you wake up and you're like, remember. Oh my God, wait, did they catch that on camera? Like,
yes.
yes so, to all of the above.
On our show, have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's a great time.
If you haven't seen it, we are all living in this house in the Hamptons and we're out there for the weekends. So it's like Big Brother meets like Real Housewives. Like we're being watched all the time. There is someone there in the garage is usually where they have the cameras all set up, all the monitors, and they can see all
That's
of our
weird.
Rooms and the cameras can move, and there's microphones in the headboards of our bed.
Oh my God. Like,
they see and hear it all.
Oh my God.
And we're, you know, mic'd up from most of the time we're there, but when we're not mic'd up at night, even after the like crews go to bed and we can go out and do whatever, when we come back, there's still someone there watching the cameras and running the cameras, and there's mics all in the house. So everything is caught. And honestly, the first season, when we first started, it was like, I was so like, I'm going to look good. Like, I set my alarm. I woke up and like before we were supposed to go. And I like got in the shower and brushed my teeth and did my hair and like put on moisturizer and then went upstairs to make a cup of coffee. And then, like, 3 weeks in, I was just kind of like, fuck this.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, that's not how I really am.
I, like, wait till the producers are, like, sending people in, like, other cast members in, like, go wake up Steven, please. Go get him out of the bed. And then roll out with a hoodie on and, like, go upstairs and make coffee with,
well, so
like,
it's real
sunglasses
life.
On at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, and half the time you're probably a little hungover, right?
I mean, we were filming. This is the thing. It's a job. It was intense. Like, we're filming Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday out there. And we would film from like 9 a.m. in the morning till 1 or 2 a.m. at night.
Wow, yeah.
On camera where you're just waiting or being told what to,
you're drinking
where to
too.
Go. Drinking the whole time.
Well, yeah, because it is your summer vacation, technically.
It is supposed to be a week, you know, it's a show about the weekends. It's supposed to be fun and relaxing.
My gosh, as I get older, I would die.
I know.
I could barely
do
a full weekend. We went to Charleston to visit Shep, and I could hang one night, and then the next day
took a nap while we went to the bar, and the only reason I could keep drinking is because if I didn't, I would have vomited everywhere. You know?
My gosh,
also, he was one of those.
So 9 to 1 is such a long,
long
period to shoot for.
And so we're not really, like, we're not with our friends during that time. We're with each other. Like, maybe we see people, but our people can't come and go. I mean, it's a, this isn't like what reality TV used to be, like, where
the real
camera
world.
Crew, I'm like, I'm going to go over here. And the crew just follows me to the burger place or whatever. Like, everything's organized because this is New York. You have to have permits. You have to have all these things. So, like, you can't just be like, I want to go do this. Like, these things are planned out.
So they'll say, today you're going to be doing this party at this time. So,
and
see
then
you then.
You're going to go here and this and that. So at 1 a.m., we're going to see our friends.
That's
and, like,
crazy.
You know, getting home at 6 or 7 in the morning. Falling asleep and then being woken up 2 hours later.
Oh my God. So
anyway, back to your question. Yes, there are a lot
of
mistakes. and in
the real world, I remember because they did, you know, all the behind the scenes things, and I was obsessed with that show because that was the first show reality wise, I think, probably that existed other than Survivor. And I watched Real World when I was younger, just being like, oh, I want to be on that one day. And then when I got to that age, I was like, absolutely not. I don't want.
Yeah.
But they used to have the guys wear necklaces for mics. Like, are you, is there always some sort of mic on you, even if you're like swimming naked? Like,
no.
I don't know if you do that, but
so with us, that is, they try to avoid. So that's like, yeah, the guys, they're shirtless, they have this like necklace mic, and they try to avoid that because they don't want you, it's Bravo, so they don't want to break the barrier of reality, so they don't want you to see the microphones or anything like that. So we're always mic'd in our clothes,
right?
Like every time I want to go take a shower or go to the bathroom, I have to be demiked.
That's crazy.
And you're always mic'd, and they're putting it on you and taking it off, and then those mics go away at 1, so you're pretty much mic'd all day long.
Oh,
and then at 1 a.m. there's mics in my bedroom alone. There was 3 mics. There was one in the headboard in my bed, one behind the mirror of my dresser.
Wow.
And then there was one underneath the foot of the bed.
Oh my God.
So they could catch everything in the room.
Did they tell you
I was just
ahead of time?
Say that.
Did they tell you ahead of time that all those were there and where?
Yeah, so we knew we knew that the cameras were all there. We didn't realize like prior, but we found the microphones pretty quickly and realized like
Okay.
But we knew the cameras were in our room, and the cameras the first season, it was so funny because my friend's company, they actually rented these cameras from, because she was like, I think this may be for your show. And I was like, tell me all about them.
She's like,
they have night vision. They can zoom in close enough to read the text on your phone.
Oh, my God.
So every time I'm like in bed, I have my phone up, like, you know, up against my chest.
I can't wait to send you scandalous text messages and be like, I hope this is on air.
Yeah.
Do people hook up on that show?
So...
Because I haven't seen all of it. So, I mean, I would imagine with all
there
the drinking
is a
hot
couple,
people.
There's a few relationships. Yeah.
But do they show it on the show?
You hear it.
Oh, you hear it.
Actually, there was some on the last season. I was like, is she riding him right now?
Oh, my God.
That's like the Real World. You can see the people.
Whoa. And literally, I don't know when the rules changed, but they don't have to blur much.
Wow.
Like, as far as boobs, they literally only have to blur the nipple.
Wow. Are you
so,
serious?
Like, there's some girls on my shows with some big boobs.
Yeah.
And then there's just this tiny little blur over their nipple. And the rest is just hanging around. Like, I was like, wow.
Can they show butts?
They can show a lot of butt.
Wow.
You can see my butt on TV.
Ooh.
That's, I think, one thing I'm glad about Survivor is people don't really hook up because you're so tired
miserable.
No one's
you don't have
a sex drive. It's just not that
thing.
Wait,
I do have a question.
Out.
I was just talking about this. Do you brush your teeth?
No.
Why is everyone's teeth
so clean? Oh my God,
so your
teeth
clean?
Must be so filmy.
I don't know. I think it's because you get so tan.
Why does everyone's teeth look so clean?
It looks like people have really white teeth.
Yeah.
I will say this,
though. Is Crest a sponsor?
I'm
going to
admit this, though, and sorry, CBS production. I did sneak in some floss Just one tiny piece of floss.
One piece of floss.
For the 33 days I'm
That's hilarious. How did you sneak it in?
I put it in the lining of my bra.
That's
Yeah. And so I used
you
that
You were
floss.
Really committed to floss. That was the one thing you were like, I'm going to sneak this in.
That's the most uncomfortable thing.
Guys, no,
How much rice gets in your teeth?
No, but I have really bad gums. And I just had gum surgery. So I was like, oh my gosh, my entire surgery is going to be reversed when I'm out there and can't do anything. So I would scrub my teeth with a stick, and then I would floss. And then when I got off, when I first brushed, my whole mouth was bloody. But I think it helped more than
and I have always thought they must be able to brush their teeth because their teeth are always so white. I was like, I can't even do that with Facetune. It's so good.
Something that I want to know about your show, and Andrea, well, we talked about it the one day that you were like having a meltdown and you kind of hid from the cameras in the bushes. Stephen, did it take you a little while to kind of ignore the camera crew? Because I can imagine if there's a person here, because like we all are, I think I can group you in with us, we're very personable people. You look at each other when you're talking. I would be probably staring at the camera person. You know,
both seasons I had a very awkward first day of like filming. The first time I had recently gotten into a big fight with I would say the majority of the cast on season one. Because we had one all get together before we filmed, and I may have been blacked out before the get together.
Yep.
And I still went.
Awesome.
So
oh my God.
It was at Dos Caminos and meatpacking, and that place has never been the same for me. But it caused a lot of problems, and I think that they thought that it was going to be big drama going in, and it never panned out to anything. So that's why if anyone watches, they have no idea. But they made me come out to the Hamptons, and they held me in a van sitting outside of the house for 3 hours.
What?
I was sitting in a van watching our house, and I could see everybody moving around. I could see all the cameras. I could see everyone eating dinner. And then all of a sudden, they're like, all right, you can go.
Wait, are you serious?
And like, we've never been to the house. I have no idea the layout of the house. And this first house was so weird. It was like an upside down house. Like, the living room and kitchen were on the second floor. Oh, and so you could see the bay.
How beautiful.
I just walk in, and like, I don't really know these people well, and there's four cameras pointed right at me because I guess they thought there was going to be some big like
big drama.
And I was just like, what? And then it was just very, very awkward, and you're kind of like, you don't know any of your producers or anybody at the time. And and then the second season we were driving out, and I don't know why, but the production company picks out the house that we're in because it has
to meet all their requirements.
Yeah. And like, they occupy more of the house than we do. Because like, for our show, which has 9 people on it, we had a crew of like 40 or 50 people there at all times.
Oh my God.
So they take up so much space, and we just walk, like, we drove, they're like, all right, drive up. And it was me and this girl, Lauren. And we are greeted outside of the house by this one guy wearing this huge contraption of a camera thing, and they're like, all right, walk inside. And we're just like, what? And we don't know the house. We're trying to walk around and look like, not like complete idiots.
Yeah.
Like, we signed up to go to a summer house that we had never seen before.
Yeah.
And so it was very awkward. But like, I love our crews, and so after a while you forget, because I don't know if it's the same on Survivor. They may not let you get as close to the crew, but the crew were my friends, and so when I'm sitting in a room, sometimes it was weird, like if I'm crying in my room alone, and but all my friends are in the room, but not consoling me.
That's a weird feeling. They're staring at you.
That's a weird feeling. But then other times you're like, oh, I don't even care because I can fight you right now, because actually you feel like I have backup. Because all your friends in the room that are not going to help you, but I'm like, I can fight you.
Yeah, I mean, on Survivor, you'll look at the camera people and stuff, but they don't want you to. Yeah. And honestly, you're so focused on not getting voted out and trying to actually find food that you forget they're there.
To find food.
I would always whisper on my last season when I was talking strategy with people, and what they do with the boom mics is they'll bop you in the head.
Are you serious?
And I didn't know this at first.
On purpose.
I would try to say strategy to somebody, and I kept getting hit.
Because you're not being loud.
Yeah, I'm not being loud enough. They can't pick it up. So I kept getting bopped in the head, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, who's holding the freaking boom? You can't do your job.
Did you ever work with a sound guy named Ponch?
I don't know. I don't think so.
He did our show, but he did a bunch of seasons of Survivor.
What a I don't know. Maybe
we don't really. He told me a lot of ways to win.
Oh, you should get to talk to them. Conch has the insider knowledge.
But yeah. Then I finally learned that I was supposed to speak up, but no one had told me, so I kept getting bopped over and over till finally someone was like, "Just speak louder, and they'll stop bopping you in the head."
Like a bunny. You're like a bunny.
I do want to leave on. We got an email from a fan that has a question. And I think you'll have some good advice for this guy. Yeah. So I actually met him when I was in Australia.
Ooh.
So he's super cute. He's a cute gay guy. And he likes the podcast. Now, he has a question for all of us, but Stephen, you can answer too. So he says, I'm 19, and when I was at the Survivor viewing party and met Andrea, I got two cute guys' numbers. And then in parentheses, I'm gay. And he says, one of them is cute and 21, which is fine by me. However, to be honest, gives me wait a few weeks and I'll break your heart vibes. Mm-hmm. So I'd lean towards the other, who is model worthy hot and has a great personality, but he's 27, a whole 8 years older than me. What do I do? Who do I choose? And is 8 years too old, even if he's smoking hot and has an amazing personality? Need help ASAP.
27-year-old, right away.
Yeah. For fucking real. Seriously.
My target age is 7 to 11 years older than me.
Amazing.
Smart.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
But also, but I want to say, what's his name? Oh, we're not going to. Are we sitting?
I don't want to say his name just in case.
Let's not say his name. So I'll call him
Troy. Troy.
I love that.
Great.
Name. High School Musical.
I literally almost said Steven, but that's because Steven's sitting next to me. So Troy, that'd be confusing. First of all, I think when you're 19 and 27, that's a big age difference.
It is
a big age difference, but it's only if you both want different things. Like, I know when I have dated people that are older than me, sometimes it's too much because they want to like get married and have babies and I don't. So that could be the only problem I see with that. But also, like, don't rush it. Like, if you want to go on a date with, we all talk about this all the time. We get in our heads too often. Like, let it flow, let it happen as it comes. Like, don't plan out your wedding with these people right away. Like, go on a date with both of them if you want.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. So, first of all, you got two numbers.
I know.
At one party.
Amazing. I've never gotten two numbers at one party.
I know, that's incredible.
Teach us impressive. Your tricks. And I've seen his picture. He's so cute. So I say, look, if you're more into the 27-year-old, go for it. But that might not work out, so then go for the other one. And hopefully one of them works out. But if not, looks like you don't have any issues getting numbers.
Yeah, seriously.
And it sounds like what you said, Sari, like if you're wanting the same thing, then it will work. I recently, so this Hinge guy, he was actually the only person I've dated who was severely younger than me. He was 21. And it was working out. And I didn't see any problem. But he didn't want the same thing as me, which was, well, I think he doesn't know what he wants because he's
You wanted a relationship.
Yeah. And I think he does want that. But I think there's other things. Mm. But it was working out. And it could have worked out because I think we did want the same thing as far as like where the relationship was going. Mm. So like I would say if anybody is in the place, if he's in the place of the 27-year-old, then there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like no contest. And also I want to add this. I would suggest letting go of the fear of getting your heart broken because, you know, everyone gets their hearts broken for sure. But if you feel like this 23-year-old who you're having these hesitations about.
The 21-year-old.
The 21-year-old. 21 and
27. Yeah, 21 and 27.
If it's a 21-year-old who you're starting to get this intuitive vibe that, you know, he doesn't, like you guys said, want the same thing, which is what it sounds like, go for the 27-year-old. What do you have to lose? You know, you're going to learn things from him. He's older.
As a gay
and apparently
person,
smoking hot.
It's important. And hot. Like, you probably will learn a lot just from dating somebody who's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't work out, you probably will always look back on it as like a good thing because you'll learn so much. Like, as a gay guy, you need people to learn from, and it usually comes from dating.
I will what do you guys think about, because I was just going to say, don't judge a book by its cover with the 21-year-old, because you say you get heartbreak vibes, but like, I don't know, what do you guys think, like trusting your instincts versus judging people? Because I've been wrong about people before where I've thought that that was the case and they ended up being amazing, and then vice versa, I've also thought someone was amazing and they ended up being a douchebag. So what do you think about judging versus instinct?
That's a good question, because I think it goes both ways. Like, I think I've been wrong and I've been right, but I do think you do have that reaction, that instinct.
I don't think instinct is ever wrong. Really? That's what I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What happened with the last two guys I dated, which did not work out, is they both pretty much gave it to me on a silver platter, like saying that it's not going to work out. The one guy said, oh, I'm not really in a place to be emotionally connected to anything. And I still went for it. And what happened? He was not able to have an emotional connection. So I think when you first have that sensibility, you might be right.
Well, and I think you also have to trust people when they say things like that and not be like, oh, I'm going to change them, or oh, I'm going to be the girl to, or the guy, whatever, to make them think a different thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point.
If your instinct is that he's going to break your heart and you just get over it, you're not going to think about him a month from now. You're not even going to be thinking about this 21-year-old, and you're never going to have been heartbroken. But if you make that mistake, and you do try, you may get heartbroken. Yeah. So it's like, what can you handle?
But I also think it's good to experience that.
Me too.
Steven's like, no. Steven's like, don't. At all costs.
I think, well, at 19, I'm like, at 19, I probably would rather have some better relationships and then maybe get heartbroken around 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish.
Learn something, but like, have some good things under your belt before you get the heartbreak.
I wish I'd known what it's like to date someone who's like significantly older than me, because all throughout my young adulthood, I was only dating guys who were either my age or younger. I mean, I had like my first boyfriend was a year older.
You should have
tried being gay. I really should
Everyone dates older.
Yeah, I really should have. No, I should have. I know. Mistakes.
How
old
were you when you were first heartbroken? You guys have your age?
I was 22.
I was 23.
Okay, I was turning 23 like a day later, so I was 23.
Yeah.
I was 18.
Oh, baby. Wow.
Just a wee baby.
I think
baby.
I was like 22-ish. But I don't know if my heart was even broken. What's his name? Jeremy, you said?
Yeah.
Screw you, Jeremy.
He's currently married to a woman with four kids.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Having fun, different turn. I'm sure. I
took a really different turn.
I know that fucking watching Bravo all the time, and that's what makes me so happy. He has to hear my voice.
Absolutely. And she's like, Steven's my favorite on the show.
He's like, huh?
That's amazing.
All right. We're about out of time. You're so fun.
Steven, you're the best.
You're going to have to come back sometime.
Well, even if I don't come back, we're all going to the box.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes. No, wait, what's your drink of choice? I'm so curious.
Gin and ginger ale.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Good choice.
I don't really trust a lot of bartenders, so I like to keep it simple.
Yeah.
I like gin. Smart. I'm vodka soda. What do you guys?
I'm usually vodka soda. I like Manhattans now, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but that'll put me on my, like...
Oh, yeah. Two or three of those and you're done.
Yeah.
I'm boring. I don't drink, so. That's okay. Recent, but yeah.
Yeah.
No
drinks
for me. You
can be sober at the box, though. There's enough stimulation.
I can do other things at the box. Yeah.
Wait, by the way, every time we say the box, I'm thinking about a vagina.
Yeah.
So,
in the
anyway,
one really last mature. Parting thing. In the bathroom at the box, there's stirrups over the toilets.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. Yes.
Well, that's something to look forward to, right?
Yeah seriously. Because right, we love those.
Steven, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Steven McGee.
Amazing.
That's really all that matters.
And you can follow us at Past Your Bedtime Podcast. And till next week, see you guys later. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Love you, Steven.